Some radio stations bring you traditional Christmas tunes at this time in December. At Siren, we bring you the best in Yuletide music and the end of the Mayan calendar. Settle back and enjoy. It could be the last show you'll ever catch before ascending to the next level.
The Mayathon has arrived. The following takes place between the hours of 4:02 a.m. and 5 a.m. GMT.
Exactly. GM. Exactly. GMT. 4:02 a.m., 5 a.m. This is hour 12 of our broadcast-a-thon. Graham, we have another fantastic Los Angeles soul on board. A chap who's actually worked director and a whole heap of other things. Started off as in fact, we'll get him to share his delightful scenarios because he's also a Santa Claus personification of wonderfulness. He is Ethan Dettmeyer. How are you, Ethan?
I'm good. How are you, Alex?
We're splendid. We're keeping it cool. We're keeping it real. We can already guarantee we've got another performance slot from Steve Court in the studio. Graham Harper, our ace director, will be heading off down to London Way after doing a good few hours. But Ed, would you like to pull up Ethan Dettmeyer's details on IMDb and various other factors, etc.? Whilst we're doing that, Ethan, would you like to just share a mini CV? So I mean, we're kind of doing directors' exchanges here and various other coordinators. Ethan is one of our ace broadcasters on combat radio, and indeed we still have the CIA questioning their cryptic departments over the words "the pumpkins are out," which emerged on his debut a wee while ago. Since then, of course, we've had "the carrots are frozen solid." Who knows what he's going to bring today in terms of deep-rooted coded scenarios for the Mayathon calendar. Are you excited, Ethan, by this Mayathon?
Yes, I'm very excited, and the pumpkins are in fact out.
Hey! Sorted. So,
what hour are we at? What are we? Are we doing? This is part of the 28-hour marathon of doom, right?
Well, when you say 28-hour marathon of doom, I like to think of it as a celebration of nigh on 5,000 words of 5,000 years, in fact, of good quality material. Suffice it to say, if I was to ask you to describe yourself in terms of an audio CV for Graham, who, as I say, BAFTA award-winning director, that's an award, in case you're unsure, in terms of America. It's not like Academy Award, but that's because he hasn't done Emmys as yet. You know, get that sort of thing to come through. It's equivalent to an Emmy, isn't it, really, Graham?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The British Academy of Film and Television Arts.
It means you don't work again.
Fine. Now, that's not true, is it? Because that's why you're on Coronation Street. No, so let's just challenge that whole setup, etc. Ethan, how would you describe yourself in this wonderful world that we call the Earth?
You always ask me that, Alex, and I always hate that question. There's just no way to answer that without sounding totally pompous and rather British about it all.
Oh, we'd like you to be sounding British and pompous. It's good.
Don't do it, Ethan.
I'm fairly simple. I mean, I host combat radio. I had a production office at Warner Brothers for several years where I worked as a writer for Steven Seagal and Owen Wilson and Jamie Foxx and others, a script doctor primarily, and it's actually not as exciting as people would like to make it out to be.
Well, I don't know, Ethan, because you talk about script doctoring. I mean, there's a mutual colleague of ours, Adrian Rigglesford, I think, who did script doctoring. I always thought it was wonderful the way you can rush in to a film set that looks as though, look, the script is in dire need of help, and you can actually go in there and actually clamp on the whole scenarios there, give CPR, get the thing sorted out, and actually sort of say, let's create some wonderment here.
I was always given, little or no direction, too. I was given an Owen Wilson job for a movie that was never made, actually, called The Nice Guys Club, and I had 3 days to make it funnier. That's what I was told, make it funnier.
Don't you just love that, Graham? I mean, when you were directing commentary, because obviously you've done Spitting Image, done a whole range of things, did you ever sort of pull the writer to one side and said, look, make this funnier?
Yeah. Do you know, we have an actor here called Rick Mayall, who did a series called The
New Statesman.
New Statesman. And it's a hugely popular and really outrageous comedy about politicians in the House of Parliament. And the two writers became absolutely world famous because of their comedy and the writing of this series. When I came to do it, I didn't do it all. I did the last two series. And I noticed that at the end of some scenes, Rick would mug. Mugging, I don't know if you have the same expression. Mugging means he makes a joke. He used the last line, the last gag of the scene would be the gag to finish. And then he'd pull a funny face, the mug. He'd be mugging. And that would pull, that would make everybody roar with laughter, and off we go. And I said to him one day, why do you, you have the last line and then you mug, you do this expression, and you get a laugh. He said, well, I'm a comic, I do comedy, and I want to end the scene with a laugh. And I said, well, you've got a great line. He said, well, it doesn't make anybody laugh. So that's why I pull the face. And I said, well, we must change that. He said, well, get me a better line. So I would go to the writers, who were very, very seriously big and famous by now, and say, this isn't funny, he's mugging, blah, blah. And they virtually told me to
go forth and do
something else. And there we go.
So you see, is that how it is in the States, or are you even more abrasive there, Ethan?
Well, I am pretty abrasive, but I would say that it's probably similar everywhere. It's
the business, you know, of show.
I get strange requests. I mean, dealing with Steven Seagal was comedy, although it wasn't really supposed to be. It was very funny. Yeah.
Well, he's such a hilarious bloke, particularly the one where he was actually playing the chef that actually sort of rescued the Navy boats, but he was actually a CIA person.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good... Yeah, I got him after that hit.
That's a great line.
Graham, it's been an absolute blast and a delight connecting with you, good self. I don't know if before you go down to London after you've had a show preview, you might drop by for an hour or so sometime in the next day. You may not. I don't know. We're going, of course, until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. So we'll just have to wait and see on that one. But
how long does this go?
Well, we're now into the 12th hour, and we've got another 20. We've got 13 hours to go. That's right.
We're nearly halfway.
We are actually at the halfway point.
Not that we're counting.
No, we wouldn't, because see, that's what the Mayans did, and look what happened to them.
It lasted 5,000 years, Gav.
True.
This could be a really long show.
Well, Steve is going to be staying in the studio with us. Ed is going to be sorting out Graham and getting him safely ensconced to his current base of operations, which I think is the cardboard box just by Lincoln Railway Station, as far as I'm aware. That's all right. It's the glamorous... It is, Ethan, true glamour in the whole sort of scenario. So, Ethan, if you'd be kind enough to stay with us, we'll let Ed and Graham vacate the studio as they're heading off into the routine. Ed will be back in time for your next appointment, Ethan, which is obviously 6 o'clock. We haven't finished this one, of course. But just share with us, how are you connecting with Phil Learness and Ilana Rain and Dean Haglund? You know, how are you kind of getting together on your side of the pond? Or have they not asked you?
You're talking about the Mayan Into the World broadcast, right?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I'm supposed to report there. I do combat radio tomorrow. Well, I do a show in the morning with Derek Forbes, the bassist of Big Country, who was with Simple Minds. And we do a show, and then I do combat radio. And then I'm supposed to drive down to their headquarters, which is just above the Mayan Theater in Los Angeles, and I guess do a couple hours with them. I think it's going to be me and Adrian Paul, maybe Mark Ryan, who was Bumblebee in the Transformer movies. And that's all I know so far. That we're just supposed to report there and start talking for some reason.
We have a slightly tighter schedule this side of the pond, but just report there and start talking is something which I think, you know, Steve and Graham will attest to in terms of our side of things. Highlander, of course, there can be only one, and when you've actually got the actor who was Bumblebee in the Transformer movies, I just think...
I just know guys so I can take a nap. You know, they're the people everyone wants to hear. That way I can just take a nap during the whole thing.
I think, you know, the way your star is rising on the basis of your transatlantic links with us here alone, Ethan, it means that, you know, we're just moving into a whole new level. It's almost like Nirvana, but a different area. Are we all right, Graham? We've got everything all sorted?
Happy Christmas.
And a happy Christmas to you, sir. And every one of us, as Tiny Tim would say. Marvellous.
Merry Christmas.
It's great. Steve, I don't know if you've picked up on some of Ethan's background and routine there, etc. Obviously, he's in the edge that is cutting as far as Los Angeles is concerned. I think you should maybe ask him what a wonderful thing he was doing. Because when we first heard Ethan Dettmeyer combat radio, we thought, oh, is that some sort of fighty-fighty nasty station? No. It's combat radio for a reason. It's fighting the good fight of freedom, broadcasting, rights of the common individual. He was actually helping children, quite literally, help them enjoy Christmas just a Saturday ago with the R2-D2s and the Star Wars. I just fill up. Perhaps you'd like to ask him about that, because I'm going to have to sort of just emotionally...
Yeah, while Alex sort of breaks down in the corner over there. What were you doing with R2-D2? Because that's probably one of the most exciting things I've heard while I've been sat here today.
Actually, we did a... I don't know if you saw. Did you see the photos, Alex? Did you?
They are good. Yes, I might pull them up whilst we're sort of on board, so I can pass them on to Steve, and he can gaze in wonderment as well.
Yeah, pull them up. Actually, no, we did our second annual celebrity charity Christmas breakfast for homeless kids back on the 8th, and we had a lot of collaborators from Lucasfilm who brought out the Star Wars characters and the R2-D2s, and they even unloaded a full-size land speeder, and then we had some Disney characters and some Disney cooperation, and then all the celebrity guests from Combat Radio over the past year donated a themed basket. Many of them attended the event, but they donated a themed basket. Like Adrian Paul did a big Highlander basket for the silent auction with the DVDs in it and like a sword in it and a bunch of Highlander stuff, and Phil Larenas and Dean Haglund did like an X-Files basket, and the Aliens crew and the Star Wars guys, they all did baskets. So we raised some money with the silent auction. Marcella Detroit, who was in Shakespeare's Sister and played with Eric Clapton, was the artist. And it was just a great event. It was like Christmas morning for the homeless kids. It was the second year we've done it. Next year, actually, is December 7th. So hopefully, Alex, you can come out west and we can have you at the event. You can broadcast with us.
Yeah, I think we might negotiate that. We'll do a double sort of routine on that setup. It's one. I'm just looking at the combatradionow.com webpage, and the images are going.
It's not very now. If you notice, is it?
I did think we were time traveling for a moment there, Ethan. But you know, it's nice to see. I'll just sort of hold this up so I can actually sort of work through that and say, kicking evil under the bus, one fascist at a time. Combat Radio. Oh, I think we can identify those sort of lines from that perspective there.
Yeah, that's a brand new site. Thank you for mentioning it. Actually,
it's the least we can do. Actually, the least we can do is nothing at all, but that would obviously be in breach of our contractual agreements for the whole setup there. And
I don't think there's been any event pictures on that site yet.
No, I mean, under events, actually, in terms of the setup, we've got a lot of description that's coming through. And if I'm looking at events, we have in July 2012, Combat Radio joined forces with the Chilpack Hollywood Hour and made a special appearance at PopCon LA. In February 2012, Combat Radio, and he goes on, had the honour of putting together a special Super Bowl event with a performance by Robbie Krieger of the band The Doors, of course, and a member of Frank Zappa's Mothers of Invention. We are talking here, Steve, quite simply, rock royalty.
That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Wow.
Everything you just said about the children's charity, though, that sounds phenomenal. To get all those people involved is just brilliant. So,
and let me not get started on the San Diego Charger cheerleaders, because I'll be sort of just eulogising all the evening. It's amazing, or indeed all morning.
That's American football, Alex. The San Diego Charger cheerleaders, that's American football.
You'd be pleased to know that Randy Reinholtz and Gene Bruce Scott from Native American Voices, Airwolf, and indeed Magnum PI, and Days of Our Lives, I know a show dear to your heart, Ethan, these are the Days of Our Lives. Never actually seen it myself, but I gather it's very big as a soap opera in the States. They actually are fans of the San Diego Aztecs. Yes, I think this is. Is there a San Diego Aztecs?
That's the college team, right? That's the university.
It is, absolutely, yes. And they were winning when last we kind of did an update with them. I think they might have won by now. We'll find out in about 10 or so minutes.
I've got to give some credit because San Diego State plays Combat Radio.
Well, there you are. You see, that's clearly the way to go from that perspective. Steve, any other questions you want to put to Ethan as we sort of bask in the wonderment of what in Los Angeles time is 8 p.m. in the evening and here is 4 a.m. So it's actually one of the kind of most sensible times Ethan's been with us, because previous to this, he's been sort of midnight in L.A. He's had to wait up all night. It's been amazing, really. Carry on.
Well, so it's sensible to me. It's not sensible to you. And I'm sorry, Steve, I'm not that interesting.
I beg to differ.
Yeah. We both beg to differ. Exactly.
I think so far, the fact that we've been able to drop into sentences, R2-D2 and Highlander alone have made this just... I'm more excited than I can say. But we've obviously heard what happened previously with you, or recently with the charity stuff. We've heard about your plans over the next sort of day in terms of radio broadcast with these wonderful people. What's next? What's after that?
Well, actually, I'm part of a documentary at the beginning of the year in January, and then they're talking about, Paramount is talking about making the Combat Radio movie, but I don't know where that's actually going to go or what the next step is with that, but so I don't really know. I'm just going to stick doing radio and probably myself out of the script doctor.
Yeah, when you do obviously make that film, don't forget to include the scene where you're doing the marathon with Siren
interview.
FM.
Exactly, yeah. Very good. I'd like to see it
being
pivotal.
I think we need to include that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, most of these things will be available via podcast. Ethan's previous work on Siren FM has been available via the whole system, you know, southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. Keep the thing going.
And I'm sure me and Alex are more than happy if we need to fly out to, you know, anywhere glamorous or exotic to come and film that, that would be fine.
It's important, you know, that's very important. And
I think you guys should plan on it. I think that I don't think we could do it without you. I don't think that would be right.
See, that's the special relationship in action. You know, Tony Blair and George Bush. Yeah, George Shrub, shall we say, small bush. You know, they might have talked about special relationship. We're putting it in action.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is what it's all about. Keeping it real, keeping it combat radio now.
Well, I'll tell you, when the combat radio project was over at Showtime and that deal fell apart, it was one of several shows at a station. So there was other radio personalities that were going to be a part of it when the project was in that stage. So who knows?
And
you certainly got a voice for it.
As we've always said, ultimately the scenery is so much better on radio.
Mm.
Isn't that the truth?
It's the theatre of the mind, quite literally. Ethan, it's been fabulous as ever, touching base with the good self. Are you okay to join us in 2 hours from now, which would be, let's see, 10 PM Los Angeles time, 6 AM UK time?
Yeah, no, I'm happy to do it.
Ethan will be back. And don't forget, of course, by then, I think they'll have actually started the Chilpack Hollywood scenario as well. And as they've figured out how to sort of run the thing, it's just wonderful. Here's Linda Ronstadt.
I was born from love.
Lincoln will be waking up shortly now. 21 minutes past 4 AM. Splendid! Excellent stuff. OK, Linda Ronstadt there with Stony Inn. We're going to try and connect once more with Randy Reinholtz and Gene Bruce Scott. Gene Bruce Scott and Randy Reinholtz, of course, from San Diego. Shortly after, we're going to have a little repeat here, Steve, because Raintown, great new Glaswegian band, performed for us last night, and they've set out a special Christmas tune single. It's part of the Cameron Tilbury opus of wonderful classics that are around. Cameron will be with us as well, hopefully in the not-too-distant future. I still believe, love this time of year. Here's Raintown. Raintown, who featured earlier on the Myathon, just good heavens, it was around about 7 PM when Paul and Claire joined us from the band Raintown. That was Still Believe. And why shouldn't you still believe? You need to believe, because if you believe that Gene Bruce Scott and Randy Reinholtz will be back on the line, then that will happen. It will manifest. The magic will occur. Isn't that right, Gene and Randy?
Absolutely.
So, we've earlier heard from Ethan Dettenmeyer, who was singing the praises of a rock concert he put together at the San Diego American football team, and he said it was nice that combat radio is also taken by the San Diego college team. Have they actually won?
They got spanked in the fourth quarter.
Oh. Well, never. You see, obviously, we should have kept the link going longer. You know, it was all going well until that fourth quarter, and then
it was.
Yeah. Oh well, it things can only get better. That's the important thing. You know, we celebrate the rest of the bits and pieces there. In the studio, we have a young man who. How would you describe yourself, Steve? Would it be director? Would it be actor? Would it be performer?
I think right now more performer than director.
Exactly. And he's actually been producing various performance pieces, short performance pieces, over the last. Sort of couple of hours of the show, obviously, so Graham's enjoyed that. Graham's now gone off to get some sleep. Why not, indeed? I can understand that, you know, except I might get some myself in about 12 hours from now. Mm-hmm. There we are. And indeed, he's been sort of guided to that by Ed. So hence the reason, Gene, I had to sort of do the little trot out to the studio thing, dial you up, sort the thing through, then trot back into the studio whilst asking Steve to actually... It's you'll see this when you come over to the studio in April. It's you know, when we do our transatlantic links, it's always quite fun from that. We're going to find out a bit more about that and Native American voices and a whole heap of other things, etc. But Randy, and Gene, are you ready for another little performance piece from Steve Court?
Yes, Alec.
Yes, okay. Well, Steve, he's taking the microphone now, and this is delivered, as I say, from memory, without the script. There's no script in the studio. I can attest to that. It's sorted through. Steve, what are we going to hear now?
I think we will, as we've got our lovely American listeners on again. I'll do the other Taylor Marley piece.
Well,
I was
we hope
about
the American
about.
Listeners have been with us all the time. So, obviously, we
well,
have
yeah,
two
well, specifically
extra, extra special, yes, yeah. lovely American native. Well, it was wonderful. I mean, Jean, Californian gal, basically, and Randy, just a wonderful person. There we are.
So this is another Taylor Marley one. It is probably slightly more serious, and I have to admit that it has been. I don't know what the phrase is, anglicised by me to make it a little bit more relevant for when I perform it for an English audience. So,
Subtitles.
Yes. So it is, it's called, or it's now called, the. I think Taylor Marley calls it the 7th grade Viking warrior. But over here it's the year 7 Viking warrior. And it goes like this. Have you ever seen a Viking ship made from balsa wood and lollipop sticks? With oars cut from chopsticks, shields sliced from cereal packets, and a sail torn from a baby's blanket. Because I have. Because that's the privilege of teaching Year 7 boys history. It's the kind of project I'm known for. The Roman Shield Project. The Marshmallow Catapult Project. The Egyptian Pyramid Project. The Chocolate Cake Castle Project, which I admit was an absolute failure. And the Viking Longship Project. To truly understand the Scandinavian warrior of the Middle Ages, you must first understand the importance of the Viking longship. He died with a sword in his hand, and so he went straight to heaven. When a Viking warrior died, he was buried in his ship, or set adrift as a floating mausoleum, allowing the smoke to slowly send the soul of the warrior to heaven. He died with a sword in his hand, and so he went straight to heaven. Toby was the first of the 13 children in the class to speak when he said, "Is that true, sir? Because if it is, then, like, if I was a sick or dying Viking, would I, like, die in my bed holding on to my sword so that when that moment finally came and I died, I'd, like, go straight to heaven?" I smiled at Toby and said, "I don't think any Viking warrior would be so stupid as to fall for that. But if I was a Viking warrior, that is exactly what I would do." So your project as a class is over the next 6 weeks to create a miniature replica Viking longship. You can use whatever resources you have available, but you must do this as a group, like a band of Viking warriors. It was the day after they handed in their Viking ship that Toby didn't come to school. It was another 2 months before we learned what had happened to him, when one afternoon the head teacher arrived in the class to say, "Toby will be coming to school tomorrow for a visit. The treatment he has been receiving has meant he's lost all his hair. So no one will laugh, no one will point, and no one will stare." The name of that disease whispered around the room so quietly that you felt they were afraid if they said it too loud, it could infect them too. I used to like teaching in a private school. I didn't like the need to draw God into every lesson, and it was hard to find the words over the next day to describe a God that could allow that to happen to an 11-year-old boy. But the day of Toby's visit came. And have you ever seen the power of a 13-year-old boy, completely bald, thrust up in suit, jacket and tie? Because I have. Because I have 13 times over, when not one single child arrived at school that day with a single strand of hair upon their heads. They had all shaved their heads in solidarity. 13-year-old boys thrust up in suit jackets and ties, all staring, all pointing, and all laughing. It is the single most powerful moment of my life. Except for one. It was eclipsed only once, when exactly 1 month later, I saw 12 completely bald 13-year-old boys stood outside a church holding hands, watching the smoke rise from the burning embers of a balsa wood Viking longship. He died with a sword in his hand, and so he went straight to heaven.
Genuinely wonderful. Gene, I don't know if that sort of impacted us across the Atlantic, and obviously Randy, from the point of view, what did you make of that superlative performance?
Stunning. Stunning.
Well, and hearing that from our point of view, we've just had this horrific tragedy in the States.
Sure.
A week ago with all the young children. So it obviously, harkens to that.
Absolutely. Well done. I say well done, that sounds so twee, etc. I have to say, on a slightly lighter note, I'll be uploading more images, because I know, Jean, you like to actually see whom you're speaking to. And there we are. I've uploaded a few more. I even did one of myself with Graham Harper earlier. So there we are. That's all up and online now. Just go to our Facebook page, Southside Broadcasting, and the magic will be there. Steve, it's time for you to turn the tables and find out a little bit more about Native American Voices and what excitements we can look forward to, together with our colleagues at Harlexton Hall, I believe, in the joys of Grantham, and hopefully also at the University of Lincoln as well, as we mentioned several times before. So, Steve, over to you, wearing your Inspiring Lincoln or Lincoln-inspired hat.
Yeah, well, my first question is, when are you here? When are you coming to do these wonderful things?
Oh. See, I know, but, you know, obviously the listener...
Basically the 1st through the 12th of April, and I think our events at Harlexton are the 8th and 10th.
So there we are, but we're looking to squeeze in a couple of things, including an appearance on the show and a whole heap of others. Exactly,
yes.
So just share with us, what magical things will you be doing, guys?
Well, I'm not sure the name of the position I have, but apparently Kevin Spacey came from the old Vic to do it last time, and it's to work with the Harlexton students on some of their theater projects.
Which is very exciting.
I think it's very exciting for the students. I think they should actually sort of give thanks to whichever deity or deities they happen to worship, that actually sort of this is a really important part of the whole thing. So splendid stuff on that side of things. We talked earlier with Graham Harper, of course, guys, about Native American Voices. I know he's amazed and really impressed by that, and we'll communicate even further about various other factors and so on. Would you like to ask Steve any questions about what it's like being a young actor, producer, writer in the UK, that's United Kingdom, Great Britain, whatever, or England, in that sort of routine, the home country? I could use other sort of synonyms, but I won't, because obviously, you know, we've only got a few more hours to actually go. Would you like, I mean, Jean, any questions you'd like to put to Steve about his life and times, and also maybe what Lincoln Inspired is all about?
Absolutely. What is Lincoln Inspired all about?
Lincoln Inspired, it's a new arts festival that we're setting up for the city. It's due to start in May next year, so running between the 7th and 12th of May. And it effectively covers every art form you can think of, whether that's visual art, creative arts, it's the spoken word, theatre work, which is, again, pretty close to my heart, short films as well. So we're looking at basically trying to get opportunities for everybody to not only come and watch things, which is what a lot of arts festivals do, but also to take part in doing things themselves as well. Really, to try and inspire people to get involved. So,
and is this the first year?
This will be the first year. Yeah, we're trying to, because the arts world's going through a bit of a horrible phase over in the UK at the minute. Oh. We've just had a massive wave of funding over the last few years because of the Olympiad, with us having London 2012. Loads of money's been available, so you can almost think of any idea you've wanted to do, and somewhere there's been a little pot of money there ready to make that kind of happen. And now we kind of go cold turkey in that. That's finished. The world's gone home, so there's no money left available for anything. So we're having to try and do our fundraising in a different way. So we're trying to crowdfund the whole project, just saying, basically, if we can get lots of people to give us £5 rather than going to people like the Arts Council and needing lots of money. So it does mean we're not only an arts festival for the people, but we're needing the people to get behind it to actually make it happen in the first place as well.
And how can people donate the £5?
We have links on our website, so there's... thank you very much, that's a fantastic
question. She's very good, isn't she?
Yeah, I like you.
It's almost as though she cares and empathetic. You know, it's the empathy that comes across. It's wonderful.
The website is www.lincolninspired.co.uk, and all the links and all the information that people would need will be on there as well. So.
Now, Steve, is Lincoln Inspired the art? Are the artists from that region? And then does the art speak to issues and aesthetics that are unique to the region?
We've got loads of people that have got involved. Most of this project has happened because a chain of us who are sort of local artists and performers and people like that have all been sort of sat in coffee shops going, wouldn't it be brilliant if we had this? Or wouldn't it be great if we could do that? And eventually we had enough of us sat in this conversation to just say, well, why don't we just make it happen? So there is very much a Lincoln base to this, that there are lots of local artists. So lots of the photographers and art, you know, painters and people like that are all doing landscapes of Lincoln. They're all doing photography projects based on Lincoln. But we equally have patrons that are coming in from outside the county to bring in that kind of professional level, that professional quality as well. So it really is kind of based in Lincoln for the people of Lincoln, but we are trying to bring in outside influences to make sure we make it as big and bold as possible.
And then what are the venues or the galleries and so forth? Like, where will the art be displayed?
It's across the whole city, so we've got a range of venues from the local theatres, so we're hopefully going to be doing a project with LPAC, which is the performance venue here at the University in Lincoln. We've got the Drill Hall in Lincoln, who are already a partner. We've got people like Waterstones, obviously the book retailer, who are coming on board to do things with us as well. So we're going to have a mixture of venues, from it being artwork in places you wouldn't expect to see. We've got lots of pubs who are going to turn themselves into pop-up galleries. Retail shops that are going to again put some artwork on the walls, so that we can make it into a whole. Literally, the whole city is going to become part of this festival. Anyone who wants to provide a space, we can provide something to go in that space. So,
fantastic! That sounds really exciting.
We like to feel that the get up and go is not necessarily restricted to the Native Americans. We can still actually sort of get up and go and keep that going, as opposed to.
Absolutely.
And if I were an artist, how would I know? And this conversation was new to me. How would I know how to get involved if I were so moved?
Again, everything on the website. There's links there for you to contact, whether you're an artist, a performer, a venue, whatever it is that you need. All the contact details are on there for people to go to. So again, that was LincolnInspired.co.uk.
And LPAC, in case you're wondering, is it yet another acronym? It's actually the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. It's my dream that actually we should have Randy and Gene actually performing there, or at least sort of doing question and answer session there. It certainly should be sorted out. Well, we're on the case. We're looking at
a radio theatre bit from there.
Yeah, precisely. Precisely. This is exactly so. We've got another Mike Dooley scenario. It's a personal favourite, actually. Slightly longer than normal. His thoughts from the universe, TUT.com. But it'd be interesting to sort of see how this ties in not only with Native American voices, so stay online if you will, please, Randy and Jean, but also with the whole notion of dreams in general. It's the top 10 signs that dreams are coming true.
The top 10 signs a really huge dream of yours is about to come true are, number 10, you regularly visualize the end result, the after party, or beyond. Number 9, every day you show up doing something about it. Number 8, you're not attached to how it will come true. 7, it really matters to you. You really care. Number 6, you know who the first 3 people are that you'll call with the news. Number 5, you're smiling and winking way more than normal. Number 4, sometimes you speak and behave as if it already has. 3, it probably doesn't depend upon specific people. 2, you already know what your next goal is. And the number 1 sign a really huge dream of yours is about to come true, you keep whispering, sweet, thank you, yes, with clutched fist. Sweet, thank you, yes, the universe. Did you just smile and wink? Good. Keep on it.
Exactly. Does that help, Steve?
It does help.
It does, exactly.
Do you think if you get 8 out of 10, it's still going to happen?
Yeah, I think it will. I think it will. You'll be pleased to know that I have now uploaded Steve and tagged him. Yes, uploaded and tagged onto the Facebook
site.
Exactly.
I've got to say, I'm not loving this part. I have a face for radio, so I like it to stay that way.
He's clearly there doing something with the tinsel on the microphone, but it's there in full force. So there we are. I think you're in full form there. So never let it be said that the multimedia dimension has not sort of continued to live, grow, and all the rest of the bits and pieces. Let's do a few little happy shout-outs whilst we're there, because eventually some of Gene's colleagues and friends, etc., will probably sort of tune into this via podcast, which probably be a bit late in getting up, so it'll be probably maybe 2013 before they come
up. Well, let's hope they're not too late in getting up, because the world ends soon.
Don't worry, it'll be all sorted out. Remember, we're back with the midweek drive on January the 9th, so we've still got a few hours to go, but Gene, would you like to give a few messages to any of the fine Brits who sort of are based over in the States, and indeed some of the other colleagues who may hopefully be joining us on one of the shows in 2013?
Absolutely. David and Charlie Shaughnessy,
yeah.
I can't wait to hear you on the, would it be the midweek drive?
Exactly so. You see, our friend David Shaughnessy connected with, of course, David and Charlie Shaughnessy, sons of the creator, co-creator of Upstairs Downstairs. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just one more, and fine folk in their own tree. And I believe one of them is married to another, a fabulous person who could also probably, a gala gene, actually sort of just do the full 25 hours, just speech about Stallone, really, and that sort of line of things.
Yes.
right. We can give her a name check as well. You know, that's fine. Her name, of course, is Jean.
Annie.
Yes.
Shutley.
There we are. Yes. Emmy award-winning Annie, of course.
Award-winning Annie. Yeah. Absolutely.
There you go. Sorted it. Listen, guys, it's been an absolute joy to connect with you. Not once, not twice, but three times in various ways. The San Diego people will return. The San Diego Warriors, the Aztecs, they will get ourselves together. Steve's got another question for you.
I think what's sometimes slightly annoying is that you hear a broadcast relating to a sporting event that's happening, then you never really find out what actually happened in the end. So we know it went a little bit wrong in the fourth quarter.
A little bit. Yeah.
But what was the final score? How wrong did it go in the fourth quarter?
Way wrong.
53-6.
23-6.
23-6. Well, not as bad as 53-6.
Still quite
much
wrong.
Better than 53.
Yeah. Actually, I think maybe you need to stay with us for Pip Mountjoy's 2012 Mayan theme. So this was something that actually was composed by a young artist who is, she's only 18, she's a singer-songwriter. She took up the challenge we set her last week of actually composing a song for this entire show and the end of the world, the Mayathon calendar. Would you like to cast your creative ear over this, guys, so sort of as the closing sequence, and just have a listen to Pip Mountjoy with 2012?
Absolutely.
Of time.
Well, it's been described as hauntingly wonderful, a whole variety of other things. What did you think, Jean Bruce Scott and Randy Reinholtz, about that specially composed epic 2012 by Pip Mountjoy?
Takes you back to the Steve story of Toby and loss and how we all connect to it.
And I think that's probably the message we want to sort of send out for the whole sort of marathon that we're doing, really, that, you know, everybody faces challenges, we work through that, but we are one family, one connection, doesn't matter which country we're based on, we are on the human planet, and we're doing that setup, and we need to keep on going. And I've had a change of clothing, and Ed's now changed his clothes as well. Not in the midst of that song, actually. I'm quick, but I'm not that quick, you know?
Did you change with each other?
No. It's, again, thank you, Jean, but well worth pointing out, you know, separate rooms, there's certain things here, you know, certain standards. I mean, I don't know what radio stations are like in the States, but actually stripping down to underwear is not going to be a good sight in any way, shape or form.
I'm not just sat here scarred.
Exactly. It would not be good. But anyway, Ed, you're in time to throw those last two questions to Jean Bruce Scott and Randy Reinholtz, who have wrapped up the sensational 11th hour. The 11th hour. Well, no, it's the 12th hour, in fact. Yes, we are in hour 12. We write that whole thing down, then. Over to you, please, Ed.
So, Randy and Jean, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning on Siren FM?
Very interesting. Just thinking about the two of you changing clothes has made my night.
Jean, if we can actually add some fantasy life, you know, we're always, you know, it's a different... But, you know, at the end of the day, you've worked with Jan Michael Vincent, and I'm sorry, but, you know, it's a different line entirely, exactly. Besides,
I can't see you, Alex, today because of all this tinsel, but never mind. And can we look forward to connecting with you both, Randy and Jean, in the near future?
Absolutely.
2013. Exactly. I think we'll connect in January, because then it'll only be 3 months before they're coming over to Lincoln and be in person. Wow. It's Andrew Gold. Maybe just that we're ascending to a different level, but I cannot sort of stop just a wonderful broad grin coming through with respect to that. Thank you for being a friend when we die and float away beyond the stars to the Milky Way. Thank you for being a Mayathon friend. A Mayathon buddy, really, in many ways. Who's online now, Ed?
Mr. Phil Leonis.
Mr. Phil Leonis, yes. Has the equipment been installed, Phil?
We're at a little bit of a bottleneck here, which is that the phone that would allow me to let our IT guy in is being occupied to make this transatlantic connection. So we're at T-minus 7 minutes. We've done our mix. We've done our tests. Yep. We've got everything set up as much as we can, except we don't have our internet link up. So, nor our webcam. So as soon as he's here, I trust that it will take no more than 4 minutes to set up. Marvelous. So that hopefully we can be
happy
online
and
at 9
joyous.
p.m. or else all those legions of people who are expecting to find out from us what's going on in the world might fear that their worst nightmares have been realized.
It's very exciting, this. It is midnight in Peru in a little over 5 minutes from now. Midnight in Peru, 9 p.m. in Los Angeles, 5 a.m. in Lincoln, England. Okay? Not Nebraska, England. It's very good. And all we're waiting is those sort of final routines. So would it be easier, Phil, if we effectively sort of said, we will come to you when the buttons have been pressed, the connection? Because we were thinking, should we stay with you of this? But I suspect that you won't be able to press the button because, as you've just rightly said, you can't get the engineers in if you're actually sort of manning the system in its own right. You know, what's the easiest for yourself?
Well, I mean, on the one hand, I don't want you to miss out on the pre-show excitement that we have going on here. Oh. We've got We've got cheese platters being set out.
Very good.
Alana is making friends with Dobermans right now.
Nice.
She had some misgivings about these creatures before meeting them, and now they're bosom pals.
Nice.
So we've got a lot of magic happening. But, yeah, I think it would probably be good if you let me get off the phone.
Yeah, it's good. I'll reveal from our end of the scale, I have had my first cocktail sausage of the morning. And there we are.
All right.
I can tell us what. Phil, we'll be back with you very shortly, probably at the start. Well, we'll give you 10 minutes and then we'll connect together and we'll head up to the news. Was there something there? Did you have somebody said something on Twitter? Or?
No, I just found Steve.
Nice. Oh. Yeah, that's always very. He's sitting right next to you.
I know.
Sometimes
both sides now, there and there. You see,
wonderful,
virtual and real.
We need electricity.